My name is Gloria Steinem. I'm a writer and feminist organizer.
Well, I started out as a media worker, as they would have said in the 1930s. I mean, I was anyway writing for magazines. That was my, I'm a writer by profession. If I'd been a physicist, it would have been different, you know, but that's what I do. And I do think that there should be a media element in almost everything we do, because otherwise the false image overcomes the reality. The surprising thing to me is always that I waited so long, you know, because I was probably in my middle 30s before mm-hmm. I began to realize that just working hard and being a good girl wasn't enough. It was what stands out in my mind the most was covering as a journalist and a hearing on abortion, because the New York State Legislature was doing a was trying to decide whether to reform New York State law. This was before the Supreme Court, really. And they had invited 14 men and one nun to testify. So a group of feminists, early feminists in New York, held a hearing and said, wait a minute, let's hear from women who've really had this experience. And I went to cover that. It was the first time I'd ever heard women telling their stories in public, taking them seriously about something that was, that all, one, only concerned women, and two, was shameful, and they were telling their stories anyway. Well, I'm not trying to create problems, you know, or to create inequities, but are women as safe in the street as men? Are men raising babies and little children as much as women are? Do women even get equal pay, much less comparable worth? Why are we number 40-something in the world in our political representation of women? Why do women require an adjective and men don't? You know, there are writers and women writers. There are, it's like there are physicians and black physicians. You know, why do they possess this, some other group possess the center and we have to be qualified? I just think we need to be able to tell our stories and have people listen and ask questions, because we've been kind of pounded into having low expectations. If you look at the public opinion polls, young women are more likely to support feminist issues than older women are. However, on the other hand, it's true that there is a general cultural pattern in which women are more conservative when they're young and get more radical as they get older, whereas men tend to be more radical or rebellious when they're young and get more conservative, because women lose power as they get older, men gain power. So there are these patterns that we need to be aware of, because otherwise we measure women by what we expect of men. So we think if they're not, you know, totally radical and rebellious when they're young, it's never going to happen, when actually life radicalizes them. You know, as soon as they have been in the labor force for a while, had kids, discovered, you know, who cares for kids and who doesn't, you know, they get very... very, very active. But I feel very, very good about young women, in fact. You know, I feel very encouraged and instructed and energized by working with young women.
And then tonight's session that we have to look forward to in a couple hours, Passing the Baton. And I think you've already alluded to this a little bit and talked about it, but what do you really hope to pass on to the next generation of feminists?
Whatever they want. It's not for me to say. It's for them to say what they want. I mean, I'm keeping my baton, but I'll be glad to help them make theirs. You know, I mean, it's the idea that, retirement was a concept invented by the corporate, you know, you go on doing what you love.
As you look back, is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew when you first started
tons,
your career?
Yeah, no. Tons.
What are a couple of the most significant things, maybe?
Well, I think I was just very naive, you know, about how much it would take. You know, so I thought, look, this is so unjust that if we just tell people about it, you know, certainly they will want to change it. And I wasn't thinking, you know, I wasn't understanding that, of course, I remember the insurance industry, which of course has stopped the Equal Rights Amendment because they didn't want to equalize their actuarial tables. I didn't realize how much money was at stake. Not all insurance, but the ones that were not properly regulated by their state legislatures, you know, were refusing to change their actuarial tables. I didn't really understand that if women were paid equally, it's a massive redistribution of wealth. Or that if we started to really count all productive labor, including child-rearing and caregiving, that's a third of the work in the country. You know, I wasn't looking at the depth of it.
What would your message be to women all around the world?
Just a little thing like that?
That's all.
Yeah.
My message would be, don't listen to me. Listen to yourself. You know, listen to the inner voice that tells you what you love, what you would do even if you weren't getting paid, what you love so much you forget about what time it is when you know, and you know, listen to that, and I'll help.